Our sermon text for this afternoon comes from 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17. If you're using a Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1192. For context, we will begin at verse 10. Before we begin, some context to the whole letter. This is Paul's second letter to Timothy, and it is the last letter that Paul will write before he is executed in Rome. And in this letter, he has two main objectives. First, to have Timothy to come and visit him before he is executed. And second, to write some last words of encouragement to Timothy for his ministry as he deals with the false teachers in Ephesus. And in today's passage, we'll be looking specifically at Paul's encouragements concerning the Scriptures. So again, we'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. But persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God bless the reading of His Word. It is estimated that about 9 in every 10 homes in America has a Bible. But just because there's a Bible in a home does not mean that it's being used or being used well. In a survey done by Lifeway Research, they found that about 19% of churchgoers said that they read their Bible every day. Now, on the flip side, it was about 18% of churchgoers who said that they either never read their Bible or rarely read their Bible, meaning that we have about 60% somewhere in between, either reading once a week, once a month, several times a month, etc. And the reason that they gave was varied. Some people said that they just don't have time to read their Bibles. Others said that they had read enough of it. Others said that they didn't feel like it related to them. But the number one reason that was given, the number one answer that people were just not prioritizing the reading of their Bibles. They do not prioritize reading the Scriptures. They don't prioritize setting aside time for it. They do not prioritize hearing God's Word. And this is of churchgoers. It's a tragedy in all respects because the reading and or hearing of the Word is one of the most important aspects to the Christian life. Perhaps if they saw the importance of reading their Bible, the blessings they are missing out on because of it, and how their lives as a Christian may be suffering, perhaps then they would prioritize reading their Bibles and making it the center of their Christian faith. In today's passage, Paul encourages Timothy in his ministry and his walk with Christ by reminding him of the importance of the Scriptures and their place in the life and ministry of the believer. Their importance as a means of salvation, their importance as the very Word of God, and their importance in growing a believer in Christian maturity and proclaimers of Christ. As you hear today's passage, be reminded of the importance of placing God's Word in the center of your life. And so first we come to the importance of the Scriptures to salvation. Paul writes in Romans 1 that by means of what is called natural revelation, that is, by a person's very existence and the light of nature, that all mankind knows that God exists. that he holds eternal power and that he is divine. And yet mankind, by their sin, suppresses this truth. From Romans 1, 18 to 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his divine attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The scriptures are not necessary to know about the glory of God and his divine power over the world. They are not necessary to know that he is the maker of heaven and earth. Natural revelation is enough to convict mankind of his existence and of his power, and it condemns them for their rejection of God. But this revelation from nature is not enough to save them from their sinful nature, from their fallen state. And question 2, the larger catechism, teaches us as such, asking, how doth it appear that there is a God? The answer, the very light of nature in man and the works of God declare plainly that there is a God. But the Word and Spirit only do sufficiently and effectually reveal him unto men for their salvation. And so Paul says in our passage today in the Scriptures, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What Scripture teaches about itself and what the Church has confirmed in her subordinate standards is that without the message of the Bible, there is no salvation. Only through the preaching of this message of truth contained in the writings of the Old and New Testaments is there any hope of being right before God. But it is not by means of Scripture alone. For again, Paul says in verse 15, that is, through faith in Christ Jesus. Looking again to the book of Romans, Paul writes in chapter 10, verses 14 to 17, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It is by the word that the Holy Spirit has worked in the believer a saving faith, by which they are blessed and promised with salvation in Christ their Redeemer. It is only by the special revelation of the Holy Scriptures that you can truly know God and be assured of salvation in Christ. The Scriptures are not just a one-time pass into heaven. They're not to be thrown aside once you accept Christ. But they are to be read and understood more and more that you may gain a greater appreciation and understanding of your own salvation in Christ, that you may become wiser unto your own salvation. And the reason that the Scriptures hold this power, that they hold this authority over the believer, is because they are the very word of God to the believer. Which leads us to the second reason the Scriptures are important. Scriptures are important because they are God's word. Paul writes in the first part of verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. And now some of your translations, it may say, breathed out by God or God breathed. But what Paul is saying is that God is the author of the Scriptures. And this fact is extremely important to understand about the Bible. And the Bible says that the Scriptures are inspired by God, or that they are God-breathed, they're saying that the Scriptures are accurate. They're trustworthy. That what they say about God, of history, of Christ, it's all true. Because it is from God, it is inerrant, or it is without error, and it is infallible, that is, unable to be proven false. And to remove this inspiration of the Holy Scriptures would be to destroy the Christian faith itself. Without an inspired word from God, there is no reliable source for you to turn to be assured of your salvation in Christ. What about those who doubt the Scriptures and that ask, how do you know that the Bible is God's word? Wasn't the Bible written by men? And to that you can agree to an extent. We know that the Bible was penned by human hands, and for the most part we know who wrote most of the books. But being written by men does not negate the authority it has as being God's inspired word. Peter writes in his second epistle, in chapter 1, verse 21, no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You can acknowledge that men were the ones who physically wrote down the word. They put the words on the paper. But Scripture teaches that they were moved by God through the Holy Spirit to do so. That the Scriptures are both man-made and God-inspired. John Stott, in his book Between Two Worlds, put it well, saying, on the one hand, the divine inspiration did not override the human authorship. On the other, the human authorship did not override the divine inspiration. The Bible is equally the words of God and the words of men. The Bible is God's word written. God's word written through men's words, spoken through human mouths, and written by human hands. God, in his grace and mercy, made himself low so he could speak to you, that you may understand his will and know him better, that you may know truth. Through the Holy Spirit, God guided the hands and minds of men for his purpose in writing his word. And it is by that same Spirit that God tells the believer to trust his holy word, to trust the word of God, to believe it as God's inspired and divine revelation to you. To believe this is an act of faith that is worked in you by the Holy Spirit. Divine inspiration is unique to the Bible, and to the Bible alone. No other book is divinely inspired. No other book has the authority or right to command as the Bible does. Knowing this, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can rest assured of the truthfulness of the Bible as the inerrant and infallible word of God to his people. Question 2 of the Shorter Catechism asks, what rule hath God given unto direct us, how we may glorify and enjoy him? Answer, the word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us, how we may glorify and enjoy him. Scripture alone, as given by God, has the authority to direct the life of the Christian, that the Christian may be sanctified by them. And that leads us to the third reason the Scriptures are important. The Scriptures are important because they sanctify the believer. Paul writes in verses 16 to 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is profitable. Whenever you read your Bible, no matter what part of it, it will benefit, it will be a benefit to you in some way or another. Paul here writes of four specific ways that is profitable to the believer. First, that it is profitable for teaching. The Bible teaches the believer. Whether it is being preached, listened to, or read, when you hear or read the Word of God, you are being taught. And what are you being taught? Question 3 of the Short Catechism asks this very question. What do the Scriptures principally teach? Answer, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Now, that is not to say that Scripture only teaches these things, for Scripture is also full of history. But when you read the Bible, these are the principal or the main things that God is teaching you through it. Scripture teaches you doctrine and duty. The Bible teaches you these things, but what is this knowledge for? What is it good for? Well, Paul says that Scripture is profitable for reproof and correction. When you read the Bible and taught by the Scriptures, you'll often find that you are at odds with it. As you are taught from the Scriptures, it will convict you of your sin. It will show you more and more of how fallen you really are, how you do not come anywhere near close to the perfection and holiness of God, and that you do not deserve to stand in His presence. It shows you, the sinner, your sin. But it does not just leave you there. It is not some merciless bully pointing out your faults without also helping you correct those faults. It guides you to the path you should be taking instead of the one that you are on. And in that same vein, Paul says that Scripture is profitable for training. Now, this word for training in the Greek denotes the idea of raising a child. And as a child grows, you need to teach them. You need to correct them. You need to discipline them. You need to instruct them. So that as they grow, they get older, they are wiser and able to make good decisions. And the same goes for Scripture. Scripture is good for training, for disciplining, for instructing, for discipling. Specifically, Paul says it is good for training in righteousness. It takes you from the infant believer self and training you in righteousness that you may grow as a Christian, that you may become more mature. It instructs you how to live a good and holy life. It is good for sanctifying the believer. And for what purpose are these prophets? That is, why are these blessings so beneficial to you? What is the Bible training you for? Well, for Timothy, and for anyone training for the ministry, or anyone in the ministry, it is with that occupation in mind that Paul writes these words. But as Timothy and other ministers read the word, they do not only use it to apply it to themselves, that they alone may be righteous. No, as Paul says at the end of verse 17, they use the Scripture to equip themselves and be competent in their good deeds, such as their work as shepherds. A shepherd does not find a stream and only satisfy his own thirst, but he leads the flock to it that they may also find relief from their thirst. But they are not the only ones that need to be trained and equipped. Scripture calls you to encourage one another with the word of God. Paul writes in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts." And when you interact with people outside the faith, outside the family of God, you want to be equipped for sharing the gospel, that the love and mercy of Christ may be shown in you, and the light of the gospel will shine forth. When you forsake the reading of the word, it is not just you that is being affected. It is not just you that is missing out on the benefits and blessings of the word. You have been called by God to be a light to the world. But those around you will not be able to see it well if you're not able to make your light shine well. The more you read, the more you understand, the more you let the Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures, determine your path, point at your faults, convict you of your sin and your need of a Savior, the more you are equipped and the more competent you are to the truths of the gospel, of the Word of God. The more you are able to carry out those good deeds which God has called you to do as a follower of Christ, the more you'll be conformed to His image, and the better you will be able to live a good and holy life, because the Scriptures affects all aspects of the Christian life. Brothers and sisters, I ask you and pray and plead with you to make the Scriptures, to make time for the Word, and time with God your number one priority in your day. You do not want to miss out on these blessings for you, your families, and all others who live in our world. Let's pray. Our holy and gracious Father, we thank you that you have given us this gift of your Word, that we may understand the blessings you have bestowed upon us, that we can know and understand the salvation that you have given us, that we may know your will and who we are before you, that we may know your mercy and your perfection. We ask now that you would bless all of us and encourage us, and let your Holy Spirit be within us to make us desire your Word, that we may desire to read it and to know it and to hear it. May we desire to know you and your Son more. Be with us all this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.